O Lord God, you are a great God, a powerful God, great in mercy and in blessing. In your love, you've redeemed us from all of our sins. You've bestowed on us the gift of life eternal. Be with us, O Lord, in the midst of the struggles and sufferings of this present life. Comfort us with your gracious promises. Guide us by the lamp of your word this morning, and bless us with the assurance of your presence as we worship you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, in whose saving name we pray. Amen. Good morning to all of you, and please note that in the worship service today, as you note on the hymn board, the last hymn noted by the tan-colored placard and the hymn board, that will be sung from the tan-colored hymnal supplement to close the service today. Again, welcome in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon us richly as we worship our risen Lord in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. We give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, now that you've assured us of the completion of our redemption through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, give us the will to show forth in our lives what we profess with our lips. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our scriptures today is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke. You'll probably note as we read through this reading that the cover illustration today is drawn from that story. It's the disciple of Emmaus story, Jesus revealing himself to these two distraught disciples on the road. Finally, he revealed himself to them as their risen Lord, and that filled them with great joy indeed, just as it does us today. We read in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 34. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us and went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So far, the first lesson. You read the Easter acclamation. The Lord is risen. Thus it is written that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. I am always aware of the Lord's presence.
He is here, and nothing can shake my hope.
The stone that was rejected by the builders The Lord has turned my sadness into a joyful dance.
The Lord has taken away sorrow and surrounded me with joy.
He is near, and nothing can shake my hope.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.
Blessing and honor and glory and might be to the one who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Our second Bible lesson is drawn from 1 Peter. We read there in the first chapter, verses 17 through 21. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So far, the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I invite you to stand for our confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text today is written in Acts in chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 36 through 47. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart. He said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So far, our text. Name of our resurrected Savior, dear fellow redeemed. We live, of course, in an age that battery-powered devices are everywhere. Kitchen appliances such as carving knives have batteries. Food blenders, personal devices like Bluetooth headsets, multimedia devices like cell phones and tablets, other devices like TV remotes, PA system microphones, gotta have batteries. We see more and more EV vehicles on the highway. The list of battery-run devices is endless. Something, of course, about such devices is that their batteries run down. Eventually, you gotta either replace them or plug your device into an outlet to replenish its power. For example, whenever my laptop gets below 2% power, up pops that message. Your computer will sleep soon unless plugged into a power outlet. But let's shift our thinking from the realm of such mundane and earthly things like smartphones and cordless screwdrivers to the realm of the spiritual and the heavenly. Isn't it marvelous to know, as Easter Christians, that we have a Lord who possesses unlimited power in heaven and on earth, who never sleeps, doesn't hold back in using his power either, like he did during the time on earth when he served us as our humble Savior. No power shortage with the risen Christ, that's our theme today. He uses that unlimited power to save the lost, and he uses his unlimited power to energize the saved for service in his kingdom. So our text from Acts chapter 2 takes us back to the day of Pentecost. It was the day, as I'm sure many of you are aware, when the formerly faint-hearted Peter received boldness to preach a sermon to a big crowd that had flocked to a house in Jerusalem where they heard the sound of a rushing, mighty wind emanating. And when they arrived at that house, they witnessed additional phenomena: tongue-like flames resting on the disciples' heads, and these untaught, uneducated, formerly timid men speaking openly and persuasively about the wonderful works of God, and that in languages that they had never gone to school to learn. And that's when Peter stepped forward. Peter, formerly timid Peter, he steps forward, this big crowd addresses the burning with curiosity multitude. They're all thinking, what's going on here? My fellow Jewish countrymen and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain what's happening. Tune your ears to what I'm about to tell you. These men are not inebriated, as some of you are thinking. But this is what Joel the prophet foretold was going to happen 800 years ago. The Holy Spirit will be poured out on God's people in the latter days. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God to be his son with many mighty works and signs and wonders that he did through his son in your midst, as you all know about, some of you probably have witnessed. You, with the help of wicked men, executed this Jesus of Nazareth on the cross. God resurrected him, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So no, beyond a shadow of doubt, God made his son, whom you killed, to be both Lord and Christ. Now we want to note the crowd's reaction. We read in our text, they were cut to the heart. And this was Jesus who worked in his power in them the conviction, the understanding of the terrible thing that they had done. We murdered the one God sent to us in love to bring us life. What's going to happen to us now? We know what we deserve: God's fiery anger and his punishment, now and eternally in hell. That was the preliminary power work that Jesus accomplished for them and in them. Laid bare their lost condition. When they felt that sharpness of God's law dagger piercing deeply into their inner souls, filling their consciences with terror, Jesus then used his power to lead them to the wonderful discovery that he, the Holy Son of God, had volunteered to be crucified for their sins and to obtain for them the healing that they needed for their sin-sick souls. That's what Jesus made happen, as we read here in our text. When they asked Peter, "What are we going to do? What can we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, promises for you and your children, and to all who are far off." And with many words, Peter testified and exhorted to the crowd that day, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then, wonder of wonders, it happened. By the power of the risen Christ, 3,000 were led to receive Jesus' word of forgiveness with hearts of faith, and they were baptized. Jesus made them part of his church. Remember what the Greek term for that is? His ekklesia. We get our word ecclesiastical from that word, and it's a word that means the group of those whom God has called out and set apart from the godless world and brought into his special holy family, and who have the gift of unending life through faith in Christ. Something only that an all-powerful Savior could accomplish. And he has exercised that same power for our spiritual and eternal benefit. By the power of his law word, he convicts us of our guilt before our holy God. He uses his law like a surgeon's scalpel to expose our sinfulness, to open up a wound below the surface and reveal the sin cancer we are afflicted with, which is 100% terminal. Interesting how the Bible uses a number of different pictures to portray this work of God's law and the word of God in hearts. Jeremiah the prophet, God says, "Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I'll take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." And another one in the book of Hebrews, where the author of Hebrews says, "The word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So the Lord's using his law to lead us to see the immensity of our guilt in his presence, to shut up our mouths. We cannot save ourselves in any way, shape, or form. To acknowledge humbly, remember what King David said in Psalm 51? "I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin my mother conceived me." I was born with this sickness, sin sickness. "And I confess that because of our inborn sin sickness, we fall short of God's glory every day with actual sins that is failing to do the good that he commands and doing the evil he forbids, tempted to sins like disobeying dad or mom, or failing to do what they instruct me to do with a happy heart, doing it half-heartedly, exhibiting apathy for hearing God's word, for things like Bible reading and Bible study, speaking a sharp word to someone, spouse, family member, harboring an unkind thought towards a work colleague, becoming impatient or irritable to other people, harboring a lustful thought, misusing God's holy precious name by cursing and profanity, and so on down the line of the Ten Commandments, failing to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And to know that, what shall we do? Well, I know what I deserve because of it. I deserve that he should turn his heart and his face away from me forever. Scary thought, that. But what does the risen Christ also do? For using his powerful law word to shatter our pride, to make us conscious of our lost condition, he uses his powerful gospel word to comfort us, to lift us up, to refresh our spirits, to fill our hearts with peace, to banish our guilty fears, by saying to us in winsome, loving tones, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, and your sins like the morning mist. For I am a compassionate and gracious Savior, slow to anger, abounding in love. I will not always accuse nor harbor anger forever. I will not treat you as your sins deserve, or repay you according to your iniquities." And why do I do that? That was not with perishable things like silver and gold, that I redeemed you from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with my own holy, precious blood. And that, of course, is the risen Savior's ultimate goal. Not willing for any to perish, but all to repent, to come to him in faith, trust in him as their Savior, to be able to say and sing as we will in a few minutes, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lived that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his, he is mine." Let's also go on to consider an equally grand truth that we learn about here in our text. The risen Savior uses his unlimited power to energize the saved for service in his kingdom. Read how by the Spirit's working through the Lord's word, after having brought that group of 3,000 strong to faith in their beloved, their beloved Redeemer, united them into a tight-knit Christian family or congregation who had the desire to serve the Lord and each other in love. Read about that in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. In other words, the risen Savior worked in these first century Christians in eagerness to keep listening to his word, which his apostles had taught, blessed them with a unity based on a common shared faith in Christ and the teachings of his word, filled them with fondness for assembling together in public worship, and blessed them with a desire to express their mutual spirit-created faith by doing things like praying for each other and with each other, gathering for meals, and for that special meal, the Lord's Supper. These were precious fruits that the risen Savior Jesus, again, by his power and love, caused to spring forth and to multiply in those first century believers. And again, the Lord continues to do that, has continued to do that ever since, and he does that for us also today. He gives us, by his mighty power and love, inspires us to cling steadfastly to his pure word, continuing it faithfully, to express our fellowship in Christ by worshiping the Lord together here at church or by watching online if it's not possible for us to be with our fellow Christians, to work together as a Christian church family to help parents, to teach little ones about Jesus, operating a Sunday school or confirmation class, a school in Eau Claire for Christian instruction of our youth, by working together to help spread the gospel to people living close to us and those in faraway places through our church's mission program. And yes, also by partaking of that special supper together, Holy Communion, for the mutual strengthening of our bond of faith with the Lord and each other, and for the praise of the risen Savior who has reconciled us to our Father and has opened to us the door to paradise. So friends, as you continue your pilgrimage as a Christian in this evil world, take courage, take comfort from these blessed truths and from the Lord's promise. He to whom all power has been given in heaven and on earth, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God of all grace, mercy, and peace, we give you our worship and praise because you've declared Jesus to be your Son and our Savior by his resurrection from the dead. We thank you because you've given us the assurance that our faith stands upon a most true and sure record by the faithful testimony of the apostles and evangelists. We glorify your name for the marvelous gift of eternal life in your Son. Preserve and defend us, we pray, from all assaults upon our souls so that we may hold fast to the profession of our faith. Deliver us from the doubt and despair. Save us from empty philosophies and worldly wisdom. Give us your wisdom, the spirit of truth, and the mind of Christ. Bless your church, that is, all those who have been called out of this world and made members of your family by faith in Christ, that we may faithfully proclaim your word and spread the gospel of our risen Savior with courage in all lands and to all people. Dear Lord, give special care and attention to all the schools of your church, its colleges, seminaries, and Christian day schools and Sunday schools, that they may be and remain true to your word. Bless all our children and youth, wherever they may be. By the power of your word, ground our youth in your love and lead them and assure them by the gospel of forgiveness through Christ of your forgiving love, inspiring them to serve you in their various callings and to show forth their Savior by lives of happy obedience to your word. Forgive now, O God, the sins of your people. Strengthen the doubting, the weak in faith. Bring back the forgetful and wayward. Comfort the anxious and distressed. And as we go from this hallowed place today, grant us your peace. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. We also join in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Closing hymn from the Tan Hymnal.